I grew up on a farm in rural Alabama, about 50 miles from Montgomery. And growing up there during the 40s, I saw those signs that said white men, white women, colored women, white waiting, colored waiting. I didn't like those signs, and I wanted to do something about it. In 1955, when I was 15 years old, I heard about Rosa Parks. I heard the words of Martin Luther King Jr. on old radio. And the action of Rosa Parks and the words of Martin Luther King Jr. inspired me. So I wrote this letter to Dr. King. I didn't tell my mother, I didn't tell my father, my sisters, my brothers, my teachers. Dr. King wrote me back and sent me a round-trip Greyhound bus ticket and invited me to come to Montgomery to meet with him.
In 1961, as a participant in the sit-ins of 1959 and 1960, I received an invitation from CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, to participate in the Freedom Rides in 1961. In 1961, the same year that President Barack Obama was born, black people and white people could be seated on a bus. We got off the bus, and we started into a so-called white waiting room. We were beaten by members of the Klan. They beat us. They left us lying in a pool of blood. The local police officials came up, wanted to know whether we wanted to press charges. We said, no, we come with peace. We believe in the way of love. We believe in the philosophy and the discipline of nonviolence.
The Freedom Rides led to the desegregation of public transportation all across the South.
In 1965, a group of young people, students and others, attempted to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, to march 50 miles from Selma to Montgomery, to dramatize to the nation and to the world that people wanted simply to register to vote. They came toward us, beating us with nightsticks and bullwhips, trampling us with horses and releasing the tear gas. At the foot of that bridge, I was beaten. I thought I was going to die. I thought I saw death.
But if dying was necessary to make it possible for hundreds and thousands and millions of people to be able to participate in a democratic process, that was the price to pay. My simple message would be, if you find something that you feel very strong about, stand up. Speak up, speak out, give it your all, push, pull, and as I said from time to time, never, ever give up or give in or give out. And whatever you do, do it with faith and hope and much love.
That was John Lewis in his own words. Powerful ones, too. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Safe Space Radio, formerly and sometimes still Art Starseed Radio. I am Face Boy. With me at home, Calvin Williams.
Hello, hello.
And Remick Benice.
Hello. How's everybody?
I'm doing okay, considering all this, everything. It's a heat wave and a pandemic, and then I wake up and find out about Representative Lewis.
Yeah, I was heartbroken about that one.
Yeah, that was tough. I woke up this morning, sometime around, I don't know, 8, 9 o'clock, and then check the phone, and then next thing you know, I see RIPs, and I'm like, what happened? And then I see the tributes, and I'm like, wow, you know, that's tough. You know, 2020 has been, it's taking a lot. That's all I'm gonna say. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, if ever we needed the conscience of Congress, it would be now. Well, you know, actually, I mean, his voice and his activism, it came about, it did come about when it was most needed. It did come about when it was most needed. And, you know, I think about what he went through, and I question, you know, I wonder, would I be as brave? Would I be as brave?
Looking at if you look back at where he came in his footsteps in history, where we're talking about, you know, the freedom marches, he was president of a student nonviolent committee and everything. He's like, we're talking about he's catching hell. We're talking about getting beat. No, he got his skull cracked.
Yeah, on the skull
bridge. I'm like, it's like you tell these millennials and some Gen Xers like all that, like, do that just so you can make a difference, and don't tell them that they're gonna survive it. Just tell them that they need to walk through that fire. No, most people won't do it. So
yeah, and he had a scar from that skull fracture his entire life.
Yeah,
but he still persevered and still. It seems like he knew what the stakes were, life or death. And as long as he stayed alive, he had a job to do. And he knew, just like we were saying, not everybody has the fortitude to do a fraction of what he's done or take the steps that he's taken. And so it feels like he knew that, he went into this knowing that the end goal was bigger than himself and so many of us, and took that with him to his dying day. And that's something that I will always admire about him.
He's literally civil rights personified. He's walking the walk, you know.
Yeah.
Something wasn't right. I can make a difference. He is the walking. His physical form, he's no longer here, but he was the walking difference, you know, but the spirit is still around.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, you know, hopefully there are good actors within Congress, come back and try to pass the voting rights or restore the Voting Rights Act after the fact that they've stripped away so many parts of it. You know, for the sake of gerrymandering and, you know, trying to defranchise so many people from the act of voting in this country and everything. So, in my opinion. So,
you know, he said that he was willing to die for the cause, and he proved it. He proved that he was willing to, because he takes a beating and goes right back out, you know. Goes right back out into situations that he could have been killed at, and he did get hurt during.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the crazy part is, like I say again, he goes through all of that, and then, you know, what a magnificent life. He runs for office, wins, you know, he's a staple in Congress and everything, you know, and he lives long enough to see the first black president, his wildest dream come true.
Yes, you know? Yes.
And which is crazy, because it's like, oh, yes, this is exactly what I thought, you know. But, you know, some part of me feels some sort of melancholy that as much as he's lived to see his wildest dream come true, he passed away while the nightmare is in office.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, we have a racist president.
No, it's more than that, but yeah.
He's a lot more than that.
But there's so many hats, many MAGA hats to go around. You know, one can't just fit, but it is what it is.
The Black Lives Matter mural in front of Trump Tower has now been defaced three times. And it doesn't surprise me, I'm sorry to say, because, you know, it's the Trump supporters are going to be the ones visiting Trump Towers, and they're just as fucking racist as the president, if not worse. I don't know. I don't know if it can get worse.
Yeah. It's not to say that better or worse. It's almost like this. Someone said, you know, Trump is not really he's a legion, he's a zit, but he's not necessarily, he's not the true cause of this. This is, all of this is brought about by, like, you know, systemic racism, white supremacy, you know, all of it. And he is just pretty much the tip of, you know, an iceberg, you know, that's been sitting around in America for so many years. You know what I'm saying? It just so happened that they crowned him and they put him on top, you know, because somehow, Hillary Clinton was much more worse than him. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. You know, so just a lot. It's a lot to take in. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I remember the Saturday Night Live right following the election, and Dave Chappelle was the host. And there was a sketch with Chris Rock, and they're visiting some white friends on election night, and they're watching the results come in. And the white people are starting to say, you know, I think America might be racist. I think America might be racist. Dave and Chris are just like, they're like, we saw this coming.
Like, yeah. I mean, there's part of me that... I was pissed at first. The day after, election day, 2016, I was pissed because I'm like, are we allowed to curse on this show, or are we good? I mean, because I don't want to necessarily.
Fuck no. Don't shit on this show. Okay. I can say any of that shit on the show.
I'm sorry, because there's so many censors out there. Who knew, you know? So I was pissed as fuck. I was on this emo like, this is bullshit. Are you fucking kidding me, America? I can't believe, you know how they say, like, oh, you know, it's almost like picking from two evils. I'm like, well, yeah, there's evil. Okay, she's evil. Then that's fucking crazy. Like, what is wrong with you? I don't necessarily see how these things are even close, you know? And next thing you know, this happens, and I'm like, okay. Don't ask me for shit, America. Because I went on this tirade, like, you know, this is ridiculous. And then the day after that, I just kept laughing, because I kept thinking, like, all right, don't believe me, he's gonna get us all killed. Just watch, or he's gonna die trying. He's gonna get us all killed.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're here.
Got 138,000 of us killed and counting.
I'm not happy about it.
Just this one thing.
Right. I'm not happy about it. At the same time, there's a part of me that does want to go around and say, I told you so. But I'm like, look, hey, if you voted for him, you voted for this. Kids in cages, you voted for this. You know what I'm saying? Like the Russians or illegal actors within the White House, you voted for all of this stupidity up and down of federal government. You voted for this. You know what I'm saying? Gorsuch and Kavanaugh on the White House. You voted for this, and somehow, you know, you thought that this guy, because he had a, you know, number one show on NBC at the time, was like good enough to run the country. Because, you know what I'm saying? What? Because he had a show? Like, this, it proves the adage of, like, what foreigners say about, like, oh, Americans, when they're, like, such stupid Americans. We, like, there's a power of being a super personality in this country. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's almost as if, like, if, I don't know, if Beyonce could be president. And I love Beyonce, but I'm like, no, I'm not there yet. I'm just, you'd have to show, Beyonce would have to be alderman of like a small town in Texas or something, or at least dog catcher before
something. Something. I mean, Trump, not even ever been on a community council, just zero political experience, none, zip, zilch. And the presidency, I mean, fuck.
Right. You know, I mean, it's almost like some people would, you know, like some people, let's say like two parents are going out and they're just looking for a babysitter and they decide, well, you know, we're just going to go on Craigslist and look for somebody, and just so happens to be like, you know, a child molester, and then who applies for the ad, and they're like, you know what, we really really need to go out, so here's $10 an hour, and we'll be back at 10. Is that good enough? And that's exactly what America's done with the presidency and the whole country, more or less.
Yeah. Here's Philip, $10 an hour, and he sells weed, so we can get some weed from him before we leave him with the kids.
Right. Just, and it's so ridiculous, you know. Now, somewhere between like, you know, the power of misinformation, the whole idea of fake news being a term, the whole idea that, you know, facts don't matter anymore. Because, well, in my interpretation of the story, I see it this way. I'm like, no, that's not a thing anymore. You know what I'm saying? There are facts, and then there's opinions. Your opinion is not a fact. Yes, it's a fact that you feel that way, but your feelings are not facts. It's a fact that you feel that way. But these are the facts, damn it. You know, it's just weird. It's almost like we're all cartoon characters. You know what I'm saying? And like a really, really bad, like Wile E. Coyote, you know, type of zone where, like, no one's catching the Roadrunner on this one. You know what I'm saying? No one. You know? I mean, we got a chance, hopefully, in November, but I don't even have faith in that. I truly don't.
That was a question that I put to my brother, who was on the show last week. I put that to my brother and to Calvin, you know, is this enough? Is this enough to get him out of office? And Calvin, without going into the explanation, just took a deep breath and said, no.
You know what? Such solemn, sad words. And yet such true. I have no faith in America. I have faith in the good Americans, but I have no faith in all of in the whole idea of America. Because I'm like, if you're willing, okay. They're showing these like polling numbers and everything like that, and whatever, you can take them with a grain of salt.
We saw that. And it's like last time 40, around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, 40. I'm like, okay, but part of me is like, well, 42% of Americans who took the poll say that he's doing a good job. I'm like, who are these 42%? I'm like, where are you? Where? Who? Like, how bad is it? You've broken promises to, one, the military, two, rural America. Like, I mean, all these folks talking about, oh, he's going to bring back jobs, you know, sitting at home now and everything. Like, you know, and then a pandemic. Somewhat real simple. Just delegate this to the folks who know what they're doing. You can quarterback this from afar and just say like, look, let's just go with the science and then go with it. And then instead
he gives it to Pence, whose record in Indiana when he was governor, there was a horrible, horrible HIV outbreak at a time when this shit should have been contained, because he said, oh, you know what? I don't think we should have this needle exchange program anymore. Let's get rid of that. And then he closed the one place where HIV testing, or he defunded the one place where HIV testing was done. And so no needle exchange, no testing. What do you think's going to happen?
But he seemed like the guy for the job, pretty much. So there you go. Because, I mean, he's such a hands-off guy. He wants nothing. In fact, because technically speaking, he's not really running the country. you know, Jared Kushner is, but we haven't seen our real president in a while because, you know, he's trying to figure it all out.
A hands-off guy. And then you got Biden, who would be a very hands-on president, and I don't mean that in a good way.
Oh, well, then there's that part and everything. Look, huh?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just saw the door open. I walked in through it.
He's a cozy, comfy guy. All right, he's a hugger. What can we say? He likes to hug. He likes to caress. He's a big spooner, Biden. He likes to spoon everyone. As a giver of love myself, I you know what I'm saying, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying, he's one with the people, you know. But I will say this much. We kind of just need Biden in office. It's not to say that we need bigger government. It's just like we need competent government. Just what the fuck?
Right.
I have a friend of mine whose passport's about to run out, and I was like, I looked at her dead in the face. I'm like, you better get that shit done now, right now, right now. Because I'm telling you right now, because like come November, if this thing goes left, you need to be ready to jump on a plane back to Trinidad as we speak, and you need that passport. Mm-hmm. So get it done right now. I don't trust anything. I don't trust this. I just don't trust it. It's part of me says America has let me down. America's let down people of color for a very long time. I mean, it's like that adage, Chris Rock said, it's like America's like that uncle that touches you, but you know what I'm saying, but you still have to like see him during Thanksgiving and everything. You know, it's like, oh yeah, like, hey, there goes Uncle Johnny. You know what I'm saying, like, you know, and you just got to make peace with America. You know what I'm saying? You can't, you know, there's the sustained rage of being black in America every day. You know, where you see things and you're like, all right, whatever. Like, I got to pick and choose my battles. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can either be pissed at this or I can just laugh at it. But getting back to the politics of it all, I don't have faith in white voters in America.
No, me either. And I think also with this question, is this the end of the Trump presidency? I have heard more from white people. Oh yeah, he's done. He's done. And
I don't believe it.
No.
We'll see. I say we'll see. They say
that's where
he's not.
I'm
like,
too.
Prove me wrong. I don't know. We'll see. Because I am truly done. Like, I was done. Like I said, in 2016 in November, after Election Day, I was like, you can't be serious. Mm-hmm. You can't have nice things like, you know, 8 years of a black president. You know what I'm saying? And then this happens. Like, you can't be serious, America. What the hell were you thinking? You know, like, yeah, I remember somebody was coming out with those fake, you know, was it Shepherd Fairey came out with that, you know, the Obama poster where it said hope, and then everybody came, and then there was the fake ones that said like dope and everything, and I was like, yeah, like that might as well just be the poster child of white privilege right there. You know what I'm saying? That was it. He speaks to all the ills of like what's wrong with America, or what we've been, what people of color or marginalized people have been saying in America. Barack Obama is Ivy League educated. You know what I'm saying? Came out of the depths. You know what I'm saying? And like an uncommon name. You know what I'm saying? And most people were like, what the hell? Like, who the hell is he? And then all of a sudden you hear him and you're like, oh, well, he's very eloquent. He's speaking some sense. He moves up. You know what I'm saying? He makes a couple of friends along the way, political, non-political, and everything like that. Everybody on the Barack train. even as a president, he's not even the pro-black president. He's a centrist. And he's in that he's willing to work with the other side. Because he's like, I can't give everything to you. I'm willing to work down the middle. And then that means he has to work with Mitch McConnell, the worst turtle in America. Like, that dude. I know the Secret Service does listen to the show sometimes. So, but if I could somehow get Mitch McConnell back into his shell and then put him in, like, a tank full of water and just, like smother him with a big leaf of lettuce, I would. I would just do it. I do. Because I'm like, why, bro? Why? It was because anything and everything that even things that should have been easy to pass, you know what I'm saying? It was just pretty much like, you know, it was trying to breathe through quicksand, you know? And he tried to do as much as he can. And then they tried to break his back on healthcare. And healthcare makes sense. Because things, why is your healthcare tied to your job? Let's say you don't have a job. Shouldn't you have healthcare? Like, because that's how most of the world works. You know, number one countries in the world, they have their healthcare through the government because, let's say, somebody is unemployed. But, you know what I'm saying? They got government healthcare and everything like that. There may be some issues here and there, but for the most part, it's not tied into corporate interests of the job. Wow. But everybody's tits got tight, and then next thing you know, boom. They switched out Congress on him, and it's hard for him to push anything through. You know, they steal a Supreme Court seat from him, and then, you know, they may almost make him look like a lame duck until they can try to squeeze somebody in. But lo and behold, we have a white supremacist rising. It's the perfect storm in America. It says everything. Because then you replace Barack Obama with Donald Trump, who's never seen a day of hard work in his life. You know, I mean, the bar has been lowered to the point where it's ridiculous. You know, this book that his niece puts out shows that, okay, that he paid for somebody to take his SAT. I'm like, hell's fucking yeah, because that dude probably doesn't know how to spell his name on the SAT. In fact, jeez, are you this fucking guy? Are you serious? Oh, the worst. So then you can't have somebody who's you go from like, okay, the standard is this high to be this person in office. And then you have to jump over the bar every time they set it higher and higher. And yet somehow they lowered it to the ground and then pushed it all the way down to the cellar to the point where there's no bar at all. You know what I'm saying? So now you're just pretty much like whatever he does, they just don't see. You know what I'm saying? Like they're just going in there and, you know, taking off his diaper and cleaning his ass and telling him his farts smell like roses every day. And I'm like, no, this is none of this is right. But guess what? This is how it works in the world of white supremacy. This is actually how it works when behind the veil of white supremacy. In my opinion, like, where he's like, well, nothing's wrong. Like, what's the problem? He's still the president. Like, the qualifications to be president, every other president, even Bush, who's still himself, like, not that bright of a president. At least there was. I will give him this much. At least he could stand on the ceremony of like knowing how to having a certain level of decorum. Of how to run a fucking country. I mean, don't get me wrong. And I'm giving him credit. And we're talking about the guy who fucked up the whole Katrina situation. God damn it. What the hell are we doing? Oh my God. He's going to get us all killed. I swear to God. I knew it. I was like, this dude is going to get us all killed. I said it and I meant it. And I was like, I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's just going to happen. Yeah. And for everybody who voted for him, I always said, you know, don't come crying to me. When you did this, mm-hmm. I want, like, if we're all going to die together, I want, last thing for me to be doing is laughing in your face as you cry. Because I don't want your river of tears. You had a choice, and you chose, out of choice of Pepsi and piss, you chose piss. And like, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. I don't want to hear you. You know?
So. You are listening to a Safe Space Radio, Radio Free Brooklyn. If you like what you're hearing, I hope you do. Or if you like to support Freeform Radio, if you think that it's important, especially in a time where you're getting all kinds of misinformation from all kinds of different sources. You know, radio is proven to be, well, I don't know if it's proven. I'd be talking out of my ass if I said that. But radio is has good reason to be trusted as a source of information. Maybe not everything I say, because I find myself correcting myself for shit I said the last week every single week. But anyway, maybe not this week. It's important. Radio is important. And Radio Free Brooklyn did lose a lot of its revenue when we had to close down. We can no longer use the studio to rent it out for podcasts, or, you know, we can't at the moment and haven't been able to for months. Prior to this pandemic, we were doing our Drive to Five campaign, trying to raise $25,000 by May when the station turned five. And we were really well on our way to doing it, got about halfway there. And then the pandemic hit. And then understandably, people were more concerned about what they're going to do with their money. Well, folks, if you feel like you're coming out of this and you're going to do okay, how about giving us a donation? It can be a one-time donation. It can be a monthly donation. It can be as little as a dollar a month. It can be, you know, that's not really, that's $6, you know, a dollar a month. That's probably not going to hurt you. And but, you know, we would love it if you do it on a $5, $10 a month level. That would be great too. So please go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/support. This is also 100%. This is we're a 501c3.
Yep, you got
is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Corporation. And that means your donations are tax deductible. You can write this shit off. Write it off. So please do that. That's radiofreebrooklyn.org/support. The video on your Facebook page, Remick, this is 2020. Did you put that together?
Oh, no. Full disclosure. So I was doing one of these deep dives online, and I just came about that video. And I saw it, and I just kept laughing. Because I saw it, and I laughed. And I saw it, and I just kept laughing. I kept replaying it over and over again. I was like, you know what? This is it. And so I pretty much, you know, ripped it, and I just put it up, and I just captioned it for the most part. But I was like, this says it all right here. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, I interpreted that video in certain ways. I mean, so you've seen it, like it's a homeless guy with a mask around his chin, you know what I'm saying, and he's pulling the greatest Michael Jackson impression in the history of Michael Jackson impression. He's hitting notes. I mean, he may not have food, but he is going to dance class. That dude is going hard, you know. And you know, and in the background, there's like two other homeless folks, I guess, you know, fighting over something. And then next thing you know, the cops come over and like pull one guy off the other, and then the other, and then start messing with them. While all that's going on, the same guy who's dancing is like is finishing off his routine in front of the camera. And I'm like, there you go, folks. You know what I'm saying? We have police brutality being interrupted by a TikTok video. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what America is right now. You know, that's all we have right now. You know, this is the pandemic in full. You know, like this pandemic is to a point where it's almost like a, you know how like a sculptor, it's somewhat like art. You know, like a sculptor takes away from the rock to like reveal, you know, saying what's beneath and everything.
Right. The sculpture is already there. All I'm doing is getting rid of the unnecessary pieces.
Exactly. And the thing is, this pandemic is somewhat the chisel that's helping people see like all the things that they may or may not need in their lives. You know what I'm saying? Or to some people who really don't get it and they feel like they do need certain things, they're hoarding or consuming at a higher level. You know what I'm saying? Thus, like, they probably got 101 boxes from Amazon sitting, in their house and everything. You know,
I've been talking about that a lot recently. I remember, that it was a Thursday, I'm pretty sure, when like the worst shit was going on, when all of the supermarkets, all of this stuff was getting emptied out, when people were just buying anything. And I was in line behind this guy, and the line was going like all around the store at Trader Joe's, and I see he's just reaching for anything that's there. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm seeing the kind of things he's buying, and I'm like, motherfucker, you don't eat trail mix. You've never fucking eaten trail mix in your fucking life. Put the fucking trail mix back. Leave the fucking trail mix for the goddamn kid.
If you are not eating that trail mix, put it back.
It's a lot. You can't. I have this joke that I was working on that, now it's more makes sense. It's like, you can't cram being a doomsday prepper. You know, you've got to. you've had to, stockpile your stockpile. You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, there's about three or four winners in this pandemic. Because there are winners in the midst of this disaster. You know, okay. Doomsday preppers are number one. They're sitting somewhere in their caves talking about, ha ha ha, who's crazy now? You know, so shout out to all the doomsday preppers, whoever are listening to the show. You know, in your caves, you're doing well. Keep your foil hats on. The aliens should be here sometime next month. So there's that part. The other big one, the biggest winner, I think, is Amazon. Shout out to them. Oh, my God. Yo, Bezos. Jeez. My God. Who knew? Who knew he was going to be everybody's white daddy? I swear to God. This man... He's gonna be the first trillionaire. I'm like, yeah, I can see this. Like, I mean, even as all the unrest was going on and everybody's talking about, yeah, support black business and everything, which I do, and I do say, support small black business, large black business, or just minority black business, or women owned businesses, support those businesses. There's the delivery rate of Amazon, which means that thing is at your door tomorrow, because we are living in a country where we need, we need to be gratified right now. And if you need that, Amazon is your friend. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If this is China, Alibaba. You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Well, but the more famous Bezos gets, the better it is for me. You know, I can go out, get some fucking party work, posing as him, I get it all the time. People are like, you look just like Jeff Bezos. And I'm starting, I can get some party out of it.
Shout out to the life hack over here. This one over here. This, like, everybody's, walking up to you, calling you Moby every 2 seconds. You're like, no, they're not me. And then now you get Bezos. Congratulations.
I look a lot more like Bezos than I did Moby. Moby and I are friends. And so there are pictures of us together. We're just both bald guys. That's it. That's all we got in common. But, he's got this fucking thing on the chin like I do, and we got a similar nose thing going on. I mean, think of it. I can get this business, like, get your Amazon package delivered by Jeff Bezos.
There's so many people out here waiting for it. They're like, and you can just walk through the door and be like, no, the drone was broken and I was in town, so here you go. There's so many things there. You can sell the selfies, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I could sell the reaction videos of when I walk up to the door.
Amazing, bro. But so they're winning. Wi-Fi is winning. Wi-Fi is king right now.
Mm.
Technology has to be king, because, was it the last time we had a 100-year pandemic was 100 years ago, and that was before Wi-Fi, before major technologies, everything was analog. I believe, people were still churning water out of a ditch, pretty much. So, for the most part, we're okay. In fact, we kind of, I know this sounds, we were fortunate enough to get the pandemic sometime in spring, because had it held, came down in the summer, like we might have got a spike in like the usage of like all this power, because now we're getting a whole lot of spikes in like use of power because everybody's got the AC crank and they're sitting in the house and everything. And my thing is, I just hope that like we don't get no blackouts, because the worst thing that should ever happen is a pandemic and a blackout become friends.
I am concerned with this upcoming heat wave, which started today. Tomorrow is going to be, what, 98? And then Monday, it's going to be 147. Tuesday, 218 degrees.
Well, you know,
people get angry.
So, you know, I mean, he's got a, I mean, the devil's got a really nice loft in Williamsburg and everything like that. Likes to come in, you know, during the summer months. He usually Airbnbs it, you know, but, you know, it's been kind of slow on the Airbnb, so the devil comes in and is like, you know what, I'm hanging out. We're good. You know what I'm saying? So, for the most part, we're, I would say, yeah, electricity is the big winner, you know. And, for the most part, we're seriously fortunate, you know. Like, I say that knocking on wood or formica or whatever this table is, like that, like nothing like knocks out, because then we will truly be up Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. Tech and electronics, that they're definitely winners. I remember when I was buying the equipment, you know, when I was getting this microphone, when I was getting the mixer for Lucas, that's my boyfriend who's at treatment center for eating disorders. But he was my co-host, and it was like, who's the better pick for the person to run the tech? This fucking guy who, anytime I think I've done something technical, my old co-host Catherine said, anytime I think I've done something technical, I'm actually just yelling at a box of tissues. Probably right. So it was, Lucas was definitely the person to do the tech. And I'm shopping for it and for the stuff and like sold out. And then I'm like, Tom Tanney, that's the guy behind Radio Free Brooklyn with Robert Pritchard. I'm like, Tom, that thing's sold out. What else should I get? Okay, this. Sold out. But, you know, I did fortunately get the slightly better equipment than what was originally suggested.
Good for you. I mean, it's not your fault. Some people, Mercury is always in retrograde for them. And that's your thing. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, maybe you just, tech is not your thing. You know what I'm saying?
Tech, like, is not my thing.
It is.
I was great at tech in the 80s. I was the guy that didn't have the flashing 12 on my VCR. I was a guy that could run the sound and light boards at a theater. You know, right. I could do that. I was great in the 80s, but fucking now, no way. We only have about 15 minutes left. There's something I did want to get into. I've been talking a lot about policing in the country, and especially in New York City and the NYPD. And I looked at some interesting statistics today, and that has to do with people moving up the ranks in the NYPD. Okay, so we have, on the officers on patrol level, we got about 47% white. On the detective level, 57% white. Sergeant level, 61% white. Lieutenant level, 76% white. Captain level, 82% white. The only time you see more black captains than white captains are 80s action adventure films. That's it. I started wondering, you know, what is the problem here? And I said the only thing I can think of that this could be is that there's a problem in the tests that you have to take for these different levels of officer. And I think I'm right. I want to share something with you that I found today. This is a sample exam to become a sergeant in the NYPD, and I'm going to give you one of the questions. And you tell me what you think the answer should be. As a patrol supervisor, you are ordered by your boss to take a course of action which you personally consider to be erroneous. You discuss this with your boss, and his response to you is, you have your orders, carry them out. Under these circumstances, you should A, carry out the orders given to you without comment to your subordinates about your opinion. B, ask your boss to go on the record by putting the order in writing. C, go over the boss's head to your CO. Or D, carry out the order in part, leaving out the areas of disagreement until they can be resolved by higher authority.
Oh,
what would you choose?
I mean,
you want me to go over it again?
No. Because, I mean, in my opinion, the answer should technically be D, but I'm going to go, the right answer is probably A. Like, because, you know, it's, yeah, you, it's the police department is like the military. You know, you always follow orders, top down. So I'm guessing it's A.
You guessed right. I guessed wrong.
Yeah. You just follow orders. It's, you know, it's the same reason why some, like, people who have divergent thoughts don't do well in the military, because, like, they don't understand. Like, if you know how to follow orders, or if you know, like square hole, square peg, round hole, round peg, like, you're going to do well in the order, in the military. But if you have divergent thoughts, like, you're not going to do well. You know, so you just follow orders. That's all it is. So it's
yeah. I didn't do well on this test. I did not do well.
Yeah.
Because I kept thinking it through. I was like, oh well, that's a good possibility. And it just A seemed too simple. Just too damn simple. Just follow. Don't question it. Follow orders.
Yeah. To be a policeman, it's almost like playing for. The New England Patriots under Belichick. Just do your damn job. Just whatever he asked you to do, just do that. You know what I'm saying? If you say book, then be book. If he said page, you be page. If he says pencil, you be pencil. And he says, chair, you be chair. That's it. Don't do anything else. Don't overthink it. Now, the thing is, when people start thinking and start do too much, then... And improvising, bad, bad, bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be a human while being a policeman. Even though you know you're governing and you're working with humans. It's weird. It's weird.
This kind of goes back to what we were talking about a couple of weeks back about the case where there was a guy that wanted to take took the police test. But was deemed too smart. This is the exact same thing.
We can discuss that every week if we want to. And then he sued, and the court said, no, being too smart is not a protected class. And then this story came out, and it has resurfaced recently because of everything that's going on right now. The story has resurfaced, and people are like, you know, this is who we give fucking... military grade weapons to when it's needed. This is who we arm. This is who we entrust people who are dumb.
Right.
With the IQ of an ice cube. And I don't mean ice cube. I mean a ice cube.
Not O'Shea Jackson, but actual
frozen water.
Okay.
Fucking water.
That's right. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You have to have a simplified thinking, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the only way police work. I mean, some of them, like, you know, I think some of them do approach police work like, you know, like a human, like, okay. Like, this part, like, there's the spirit of the law, and then there's the actual law. And they understand, like, all right, you know what, I'm going to look away on this one. It is what it is. And then there's some of them who are like, you know what, I'm a hammer, and everything's a nail. And I'm like, bro, who the fuck are you? You know what I'm saying? And then there's the whole idea of, like, look, my thing is, I would love to be police, like, how police be on white folks. Because I have definitely seen so many times where, police have talked down drunk white dudes. Whereas, like, I've seen, black cats just catch hell. Black people catch hell, or Spanish dudes catch hell. And I'm like, bruh, how do I get a piece of that action? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember I used to work for CBS News, full disclosure. I'm no longer there, but I used to work as a page back in the day and everything. And I remember we had this, like, set up where we were shooting some outside scenes in Harlem. And we did have, a permit. So with the permit came police, so that we didn't have traffic cutting through our scenes and people walking up to us. So it was so days goes past. We wrap the whole set, and then next thing you know, the food dinner comes. Everybody comes in, eats a little bit, whatever. At around that point, we were also apparently it was like somebody's birthday, so there was some champagne on set. So now we have people drinking on set. I'm talking about literally drinking champagne in the streets. Mm-hmm. In the streets. Cop car right there. I'm talking about to the point where people are drinking physically. Guy walks up into his cop car with open bottle of a white male walks into his car, past the police detail, and jumps into his car with the open bottle. You know what I'm saying? And then like later on, like less than 10 minutes, drives off. Any other place in America at any given time, that's a ticket. You know what I'm saying? But here's the crazy part. Some homeless guy comes downstairs off because we're like off the park. This is all the way on the west side of Harlem by 12th Street. If you ever go over there, it's like right where Fairway is. So this homeless guy comes downstairs, and you know he's just kind of like poking around and everything. He's not bothering anybody. But then they convert. Two cops converge on this guy, and then they call in another cop car to like get this guy out of here. And I'm like, bro, enough. I mean, he's just even to the point where like everybody else is watching. Like, yeah, that was unnecessary. Like he's just like he's clearly homeless. He sees everybody eating and everything like that. He's just like what? It's just to that point where you're like, I saw that at that moment, and all I kept thinking was, I am blessed to be on this side of it, but I felt I felt terrible, because all I can do is feel for that guy, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, you know, he could be me, I could know him, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, why, because he has nothing, you know what I'm saying? And he's just a, you know... Like just walking the streets doing his thing. Who knows? You know, that guy could have been a veteran for all we knew. I don't know, you know, but because of the privilege of me working for CBS and under the gaze of like this freaking permit, we're allowed to do anything we fucking want, including up to drinking on the streets and everything like that. Champagne, multiple bottles of champagne were no drunk. Too. And this is not just one bottle. This dude didn't have like one sip. It was an open bottle. And I was like, this is fucking amazing. And I'm like, does anybody not see this shit? Because that's all I kept thinking. And all I kept hearing from my boss, like, yeah, we just got to get out of here. All right, wrap everything up as soon as you can. And I'm like, that in a small description is what, like, I guess being black or being marginalized in America is, you know what I'm saying? There's a party going on that you're never invited to, truly. And even if you sniff around, chances are, you know what I'm saying, you're asked to walk away, moved away, or they will, or people will confront you to get away. For the most part. Yeah. Didn't mean to take up all the mic time, man, but...
No, you're the guest. You're the guest. We want our guests to feel like they had a voice, feel like they were heard.
I mean, yeah, it's just a lot. I mean, the defund police movement. They are suffering a a marketing campaign defect right now, you know, because the thing is, defund the police just means like stop putting SWAT equipment in idiots' hands. That's like, you know, and like, what if this idiot is too scared? Like, if you wouldn't give this idiot like an AK-47 on a regular day, why are you know, like dressing him up like G.I. Joe? You know what I'm saying? Just to push back, you know, two folks in a wheelchair and a grandmother over here. Like, what is wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? I understand that, you know, part of policing is SWAT. And that's a strategic unit of folks. You know what I'm saying? But that's not the whole police department. You know what I'm saying? It's like in college, there's the regular undergrads and then there's the honors college. You know, those guys like get what they need. You know what I'm saying? It's like this is a compartmentalization issue. Not everybody's cut out for everything, you know? So like, I think
we've been talking about that a lot in the last 6 weeks, and we've given concrete examples of where you can make changes. Yeah. Anyone who's just tuning in and is interested in that, you know, go back a few weeks and listen to the show, because I think mostly me. has done some good research and made some damn good points and has given some very good, very, very, very sound advice on specifically how things in the NYPD can and should change.
Right. Oh, man. Before y'all get out of here, I just want to say, like, if anybody does listen, and if you are white in America, I would say like this. It's okay that, you know, everything doesn't become happily ever after once you learn the truth. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't make you a horrible person. It only makes you a horrible person if you choose to stay within your ignorance and embrace that. Like, you need to be a better ally, not just to black people, but to women, to marginalized people. You need to be a better ally. You need to be a better student of history. You know, you need to understand that Christopher Columbus did not discover America. You know what I'm saying? It's a farce. You know, you need to understand that, like, history was written by...
You need to understand that America was named after a fucking map maker who just put his name on the fucking map, Amerigo, and now we don't even have it spelled right.
Amerigo Vespucci. Yeah, I'm like, bro, if you understand that all of this was just... It's an ad campaign. America is like a big ad campaign, you know what I'm saying? And it's all falling apart, you know, because now everybody's asking where's the beef. It's the truth, the trueness of it all. Like, it's like, oh, why are they ripping this down? What is this? Like, I don't know.
Well, we got just a minute to go, and I don't want us to get cut off in the middle of a thought, but I like a little music to play us out, so I want to thank you, Calvin, so much for being here, for getting the tech done, for everything you give to the show. Thank you, Remick, for being our guest. I hope you'll come on again. It was great having you, and thank all of you for listening. Come in every Saturday, 7 p.m.
If you don't mind, while I'm playing the music, I want to leave with a quote from Representative Lewis.
Yes.
So this was a tweet from him from June 2018. Do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful, be optimistic. Never ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble. Necessary trouble.